episode is going to be like someone trying to say something and me going, ooh, crayons. Shiny. Ooh, I found a blue one. Okay. Are we ready? Are you ready? Do you have your drawing ready?
You have to have your drawing ready.
your utensils so that we're not shuffling around.
Is your willingness to draw ready?
It's always. Never ready. Oh. I think that should go in the episode.
What's going on, everybody? You got Jay Banana here, and you are listening to STL by Design, brought to you by AIGA St. Louis.
And if you're joining us for the first time, we are president and vice president of AIGA St. Louis, and our intent with this show is to highlight any efforts at the intersection of creativity and positive impact. And today we are talking to Shreyas Krishnan, who is a teacher at WashU and the founder of Bad Drawing Club, which is something that AIG has been supporting. So hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You need to pick up some crayons.
I have one. I have one in my... Oh, so we are, for context, we are at Shreyas' studio home, and she has invited us to do some drawing while
Studio-ome.
Yes, sure.
I'm going to use that.
Studio-ome.
Boom.
Thank you, Javen.
That's right.
And she has invited us to color and draw with her. So that's what we are doing.
We're making bad drawings.
It's a little exclusive drawing club session.
Yeah, it's like the super special bad drawing private.
None of y'all are invited. It's just us. So Javen has a book that he's going to draw in. And we've been spending the last 10 minutes watching him select his materials.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pastel in my hand under my phone that I haven't used yet because I'm talking.
Just draw with the other hand.
The other hand is holding the notebook. I only have two hands.
And you know what's
but
wrong.
Now we're done with the script so I can put my phone down because we also... For more context, we usually give our interviewees a series of questions before the interview to go off of, but we did not prepare this time. So this is going to be a very fun, informal, off-the-cuff kind of session, which is fine because we're also doing bad drawings.
Yeah,
so it kind of works.
I was going to say, it's kind of like in the spirit of what we're doing right now. Like,
everything is
make
bad.
Make some stuff and then see where it goes.
Exactly. So,
look, we're not questioning whether it's good or bad. We're just making stuff.
Exactly. We're just gonna have some fun.
That is the
and drink tea.
Yes. Yeah. You have your tea. I have my coffee. Javen has water.
Yeah. I mean, it's close to lunchtime, so I figure I might as well just wait until
that's fair.
Something.
That's fair.
So, Shreyas, how's it going?
It's good. We're 2 weeks away from our next Bad Drawing Club meeting, so I'm excited for that. We're a month away from our one-year birthday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I feel like we should have cake in the March.
Yes.
Meeting.
We should have cake.
Yeah, I didn't, like, it's kind of surreal to me to think that it's almost been a year.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even realize that.
Neither did I. I was checking the month and I was like, wait, when did I start this thing? It doesn't feel like that long ago.
Yeah.
But it was in March. That was the first meeting.
Oh, wow.
Which was crazy because I posted this thing on Instagram. I was like, no one's going to show up. I went to Cornflower Coffee and I went into the line and there was like tables that had been set up with like little signs that said Bad Drawing Club. And I stood in line and I was like, the tables are empty. No one's going to be here. It's just going to be me. And then there were two people in front of me who were talking with the barista and the barista was like, are y'all here for the Bad Drawing Club? And they're like, yeah, we're here for Bad Drawing Club. And I think I scared them a little when I just jumped out from behind them and said, hi. Hi, I don't know you, which is great.
Welcome.
Welcome to my endeavor.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, it was great. There were people I did not know who showed up, which was kind of crazy. And that still happens, which is still crazy to me.
Yeah.
There are people I don't know who still show up to this. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. So can you talk to us actually about how bad drawing, like what made you do it?
There's a lot of reasons. So I moved to St. Louis in 2017, mm-hmm. like August, and I moved here and I knew only one person in the city, and she lives really far away in Tower Grove, because Tower Grove is so far away from me.
That's, yes.
In U City. And I don't have a car, I don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
So my life is dependent on public transit, so everything just felt really far away and like miles away from me when I moved here. And the only people I knew were my colleagues. And I was like, I need more people that I can talk to. And I kept asking my colleagues, like, well, who are the other illustrators here? And they kept giving me names of dudes.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, are there other people? There have to be other people. But I just kind of never got introduced to any more people. And I wasn't able to find ways to meet other, like, women or non-binary folks in the city who are also, like, sort of in the same spaces. And I think last year I started having my students do this thing called the note to self, where they sort of like set intentions for the semester.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to decide what they want to do and then find steps to do it. And a lot of their things, like the steps that they were taking, involved like taking time out from class to like spend time drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of jokingly said, well, you all just need to start a drawing club and just hang out together and draw stuff. They didn't do it. So I was like, you know what? I am just going to make an Instagram post and just say, I'm starting this club. People come hang out with me so we can be friends. And that was pretty much it. Just a way for me to like meet more people and just have like maybe other people who are moving in here, or people who are like deciding, like who are done with school and deciding to stay back in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
to just feel like they have some sort of space to just go and hang out with other like women and other non-binary people and other gender non-conforming people, just hang out and make a bunch of shitty drawings.
It's frustrating that your students didn't do it, because like it's hard to find time to sit and draw, but like at least for me, there's not a whole lot of motivation, mm-hmm. to just not do something else. So like having a group of people to draw with and like share your ideas with and share your sketchbooks and all of that just makes it easier to like do it and actually create.
Yeah, definitely. Because like so much, especially if you're not like working in a studio, so much of what you're doing just becomes like you sitting in front of a desk alone,
yes.
at your laptop, or
that
like
sounds familiar,
whatever you're drawing.
Yeah.
So it just becomes like a way to just step away and even just talk to people or just hang out with other people while you're just doing your own thing. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes being social doesn't mean like you having to have a conversation with someone else for like 3 hours. It might just be like you sit next to someone, do your own thing, they're doing their own thing. But
yeah.
just the fact that you're hanging out with each other makes it a very different experience.
And I also like that you jump around to like different areas of St. Louis and like different places, because mm-hmm. it's kind of fun, at least for me. I've only been to one, but seeing where they are and like wanting to be there is cool, because there's some places where like I haven't been in a while,
yeah.
or I've never been, and I'm like, oh wow, I would actually hang out here like more than just this one time. So.
Yeah.
But yes, I have only technically been to one.
I think we need to fix that.
I know.
In the beginning, it was just me sort of like deciding, well, I have time this week. Let me just decide that there's going to be a meeting.
Yeah.
And then I went away to India for 2 months, and there was like, it didn't happen, obviously, because I was just basically, it was just me posting a location and a date. And if I wasn't here, I didn't know who else I could like sort of have support with that. I came back to the US and I was like, literally at the St. Louis Small Press Expo like 2 days later, and Andrea showed up at my table, and I'd met her there in a similar fashion like the year before, and she was like, do you need help with bad drawing club? I was like, yes, help me, please help me. And I have to say that she's kind of kept me on track with like, because every time we have like one session, she'll like at the session, she'll be like, when are we having the next one? So we just sit right there and we're like, okay, this is a good date. Maybe this is a good time. Here are some places we could write to ask if we could have them there. So I feel like she's sort of like been so instrumental in just like
keeping it organized,
being the more organized person in this. Because otherwise it was just me sort of saying like, well, I think I have like a free weekend,
let's hang out.
It's just like, let's post the location and
yeah.
just go hang out there. Yeah, it So yeah, she's kept it on track. And also I think the fact that AIGA St. Louis started also like blasting it out just brought more people.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so too.
I don't know. I've only been to the one, but
it's been like consistently like 12 to 15 people at least.
Awesome.
Each time. And each time there's like a slightly different mix of people.
That's great though.
I feel like Andrea and I are like the constant entities. Mm-hmm. So far, like we're both there. And then there's like a group of people who show up consistently, and then like there's some new people who come in each time, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because they're completely different. Like it's just a different mix each time. And everyone's just like, it's not like we're all just sitting together saying, let's talk about our hopes and dreams and drawings. Everyone's just like, okay, what are you drawing? Like, hey, that's a cool like pen. Can I try that out?
It was amazing to see like the support of like, oh, this is really cool. And like, oh, what pen did you use for this? And like sharing all of those resources because everyone brings their own materials, right? Yeah. So like no possessiveness of like, yeah, oh, this
I'm
is my favorite
like,
pen, so
I'm
I kind of
like,
don't want
my crayons.
Yeah, exactly. Like I was really cool and like just being able to share your work with other artists that you might not have met otherwise. But
yeah, it almost acts like a mini like hype session.
Yeah, it really was. It was so supportive and everyone was so excited.
Because sometimes like you think that the thing you're making is terrible and just awful and you're like, oh, well, I don't want to show this to anyone. And then someone there is like, oh, can I see this? And they're like, oh, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Like, this is hilarious. This is funny. I love the colors in here. So like it just, you get like this positive reinforcement. Just, can you have fun making drawings?
Can you talk to us about the importance of being in, going back to your comment about, you know, people just simply referring you to all dude illustrators. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to us about the importance of a female and or non-binary space to work within? And like, why was that an emphasis for you?
So before I came to St. Louis, I was in Baltimore where I went to grad school. And I think like the way you sort of build connections when you're in school is very, very different from when, like once you're out of school.
Definitely.
Because like you have classmates, you have like teachers, and then you just have those connections with them. And like the program that I was in was just filled with a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
So like the support system that I had in the city was just very, like there was a lot of women illustrators. It's one thing to be able to look up to people or sort of like see like, oh, these are some really cool illustrators I can follow from mm-hmm. like really far away. But then it's a very different experience to just be able to engage with them directly and have that access to just like hit them up and ask them questions if you want to. And I kind of missed that when I came here because like everyone I was being pointed to was just men. Like also like in the illustration faculty where I teach, like there's me and there's one other person. And like I remember when like my first semester when I joined WashU, Linda was super excited. She was like, oh my God, there is like another woman finally in illustration. Which is crazy because like she'd been in that space for so long being the only woman. And I think it's very telling that like as soon as we had these meetings, when people start showing up, like I have people still writing to me saying like, oh, this is great, like I went to a couple of other things.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many men there, and like, you know, it just feels a lot more comfortable when you're in a space where you're not really like trying to sort of like get in a word edgewise, or just like you can take up space in a different way when you're surrounded by other women or other non-binary people. And it was very important for me to like qualify it as being a space for also non-binary people and gender non-conforming folks, because I think like the assumption is that, oh, you have to be femme presenting to be able to be in a women only space. So it was like, I think it was important for me to qualify it as that so that everyone, as long as you're not like a cis dude, you can show up to Bad Drawing Club because those people have the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of other meetings.
There can be one space.
Yeah, there can be one space that's just for the others. And I have students who are non-binary. So I felt like it was important for me to be able to, like, set up a space for them also that, you know, they could feel comfortable in sort of physically going and not having to just rely on online groups. Like, I'm on a lot of Facebook groups, but again, it's a different thing to have a virtual community and a very difficult thing, like a very different thing to have
mm-hmm.
a physical community and like a physical group of people that you can just hang out with and spend time with.
One thing that actually I sort of just assessed, not really, but, you know, in the back of my mind, I knew, but that you just mentioned was how straight cis dudes have the world. And that can be like, it's, I see people, oh my God, you have a fig leaf fern in the corner. I'm trying to grow one of those at home. I like these plants.
They're so fussy, though.
Yeah.
One time I walked into my apartment and I found just three leaves on the floor. Oh. Like, why do you hate me?
Yeah, I'm trying to take care of mine at home. But anyway, you see, this is the danger of looking around as you talk. So, shit.
You were talking about cis straight dudes having the world.
Cis straight dudes having the world. So, I understand that. Right. And we sort of had a little bit of this conversation with
Ladies Wine and Design.
Mm. Thank you. In that, like, it's obviously it seems, at least to some folks, a bit exclusive. And like, if that's how that's interpreted, I think whatever, you know, those guys will be those guys, to put that simply, I should say. But what I realize that it's those guys having the world literally means there's a bunch of shit set up for you already.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think people interpret it that way. Mm-hmm. They react to, oh, you can't come. Yeah. You know, whereas like, you have a million other fucking places you can go.
Exactly. Yeah. There's like literally all of the other places that are set up right now are for you.
Yes.
Let us have this space.
Exactly. I think that's important to mention, emphasize.
Yeah, we had the one that we had at Earthbound Beer. Mm-hmm. There was someone who had just moved to St. Louis who came in. They were like, literally, they just like moved in a few days before.
Wow.
Yeah, and they said that they'd gone to like another event and they were like, oh yeah, there were like too many guys there. And they were just happy to be able to find a space that was less about just guys being there and like general networking, and just more. It also becomes like, I think by default, when you say this is for women and non-binary folks and gender non-conforming folks, it almost like it by default, it also becomes by extension a queer-friendly space.
Yep.
So I think like a lot of people are definitely appreciating that. It's good that it's basically here's a date, here's a location, let's hang out. But also maybe like trying to find ways to have some structure to it, like once in a while, that sort of gives more opportunities, like all of the other sort of drawing spaces, like, oh, maybe we can do life drawing, or maybe we can do, I don't know, maybe we sit and make zines or something like that. But I think like now that we have a base of people that just consistently are coming, it's like a good point to start thinking about other ways in which we can start doing more stuff in a more engaging way.
Yeah, and I think what's nice, because you mentioning this other person, like going to other events, and it felt very like networky, or very much like I'm here for a specific reason. Mm-hmm. There's a benefit to those sometimes, but there's also something nice about just like the branding of Bad Drawing Club. It's no pressure. You're just hanging out. You're not there to make connections and like to make professional friends. Like you're there to just hang out with people. If you make friends, you make friends. If you don't, you got to draw with a bunch of cool people. Like there's no pressure for any part of it.
Yeah. Am I the only one?
I'm drawing. I already finished a drawing, Javen.
I'm really fucking going for it over here.
Well, this is a really fat crayon.
I had to think and answer. That was just too much to do.
That's fair.
This is like a really fat drawing utensil and a tiny notebook, so the drawings are quick. Which is fine. I don't mind that. I draw fast.
This is a transparent crayon.
Ooh.
What is it?
My friend gave this to me.
What does that mean?
You know, like if you put ink on, like it resists water.
Okay.
So you can like draw stuff and then like do washes of like ink or whatever on it, and it'll just like not sit on the crayon parts. Very cool. My friend gave this to me and I was trying to figure out something when I was doing a lot of stuff with ink washes. And I was like, I need this to not sit in these parts. And white crayon was just not cutting it.
Huh.
And she pulled this out of her bag and she's like, you can have this. It was crazy.
Wow.
That's why transparent crayons exist.
That's why they're a thing.
I guess you could use candles, but
this seems a little more safer.
Yeah. Not everybody wants to deal with hot wax.
Just a lot more effort.
Yeah.
You could just go with the actual candle. That could work.
Candles
are wax.
Well, like, are they transparent?
Yes. I mean, if you get the basic ones,
it depends.
I guess if you're getting like birthday candles, they're not going to be transparent.
Yeah, I've never tried it. I didn't really give it much thought.
I guess I assume that like the white candles are, like the cheap white candles are transparent when they melt.
It seems like they should be.
But
they
now
just dry white, right?
Now I don't know. And now I'm questioning everything.
What is real? What is not?
What is a candle? Is it hot?
And what is hot? So how
painful.
Do you You say you came here in 2017?
Yes.
How do you like it? For better or worse?
I'm learning to enjoy it. I think when I moved here, I was just like, I know no people. Yeah. Everything is so far away from me. Every place seems empty. I'm also realizing that there's like a very different way in which St. Louis feels populated in summer and then in winter.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's...
Yes.
But also in summer, like no one's outside in the afternoon. Like... In the morning or in the afternoon, it's like, oh, it's time to cool down. Let's go outside now before I get too sidetracked. So I'm learning to enjoy the city more. I think having Bad Drawing Club become a regular thing is actually playing an active part in that because I'm meeting more people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I finally arrived when I can go to like go to a different part of the city and like randomly run into someone that I wasn't intending or thinking I would see there,
mm-hmm.
which just really makes you feel like, oh, like I live here now. Because before that was basically like I could leave from here, my house, go to buy groceries and come back and not run into one single person that I know.
Yeah.
Maybe students, but then that's also like...
Awkward.
No, they're really surprised to see you outside school.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have a life? What? Like, oh,
yes, I eat.
You're outside in the real world. They're going to be listening to this thinking, Shreyas, why? I mean,
as part of your job is to embarrass them though too. So...
I mean, I like running into them outside, but also like I want to have friends that I run into outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like it's been 2.5 years. I mean, no, it'll be like 3 years in August since I moved here.
Wow.
So it'll be, I think I'm starting to feel the place a little bit more now. And just feel a little more like I am here and not just I exist mm-hmm. in this
place.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've been making it a point to, like, visit more places. Like if I have people visiting me, like, I want to be able to know where I can take them.
Mm-hmm.
We people who are now joining my workplace, because if they're new to the city, I'm like, I know where to take you. I can tell you where to go. Like, I have recommendations.
I live here now.
I know, I live here now. I'm like, seriously. Like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I live here now. And then sometimes I think, oh, I live here now. Because this is, I think, the longest I've been in a place. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, because I've moved so often. Like, this apartment is, like, the first place I've lived in for longer than a year in, like, the past 8 years? Yeah. Yeah, so even, like, it's all just kind of, like, a crazy new concept of, like, constantness. Is that a word?
Consistency. All words are made
consistency
up.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all like a new kind of, oh, everything's the same now. Like there's not gonna be like some strange radical changes in my life that require me to just move to a different continent or move across to like halfway across the country. So I'm enjoying it a little bit more now than when I got here, which was more traumatic.
How did you hear about the Sam Fox School and like what drew you to this school specifically?
They found me.
Oh, okay.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I didn't know where St. Louis was. Like, I had no frame
does.
Of
reference. Okay.
I had no frame of reference. I was like, there's the East Coast and there's something beyond that.
And there's California. Somewhere in the middle.
And then there's California. That's all I knew.
It's New York and California.
And then when they said Washington University, it's the first time I heard it, I was like, cool, I can move to D.C. That's like close by. And then I, like, no one is thinking Missouri when you say Washington University. They're thinking Washington State.
It's so very confusing.
Yeah, it took me a while. And then I was like, okay, I guess I need to pull this up on Google Maps and figure out where this place is. But I knew some of the, I'd heard of the people who were teaching here. I just mm-hmm. didn't know that they were teaching here.
Yeah.
Before.
Because you thought they were in D.C.
I didn't know where they were. It was just like ideas that were just in space.
The internet.
The outer space of like the world. And that was it. But yeah, I mean, like finding out about, I found out about WashU because they were looking for someone and they reached out to other people. And then like there was like a whatever, like a connection that happened that way. And then I came out here and like I interviewed for the job. And then here I am. It was kind of crazy because when I came here, it was like the first time I came to St. Louis was right after Thanksgiving in 2017. And the loop was pretty packed. Like there were a lot of people out on the loop and like it seemed like a very busy place. And then when I came to Apartment Hunt, I came to St. Louis for one day in the summer to Apartment Hunt. And again, it was the summer and it was hot and the loop looked dead. And I was like, what have I come to?
I thought there was activity. I thought it was a cool area.
I know. I was like, why are there no people outside on the streets?
It's hot.
I come from a city that's like hot all year round in India. So it's like the temperature doesn't really, and it's like our population is insane. So we have people on the streets regardless of where you are in the city or what time of day it is. There's always people out in the streets, which was a big shift for me to like adjust to when I came here, because I was like, why are there no people on the streets? Am I not supposed to be here? Like, no, we're in the center of the city. This is as many people as it gets.
Yep. Welcome to the Midwest.
Oh my God.
I
think it is. So you teach with my mom, which is funny. So
I'm teaching with her this semester.
I know, she texted me that. It's funny because I remember when you started, she mentioned, she's like, there's a new faculty member that's teaching illustration and she's a woman. She's really cool. And I'm like, awesome. And like, great. Okay. Like, I didn't know what to do with that information, really. I was like, that's cool. And then, because I don't really go to WashU that much anymore.
Did you used to?
Yeah. I used to go to her, visit her classes all the time when I was in grade school, and then a little bit in high school when I came back from college sometimes. Now, if I come back, it's to do like a guest critique or something.
I was like the first person, like my family, all my cousins are like engineers, computer science, finance. And I'm like, design. I think there's a large part of my family that still doesn't know what I actually do.
I empathize with that.
It's a little easier now that I do illustration. Like, it's more tangible. And I'm like, here's a drawing I made. Like, it's a little more tangible because I'm like, here's a comic I made. And they're like, oh, cool, you wrote this. Great.
It's like, we understand now.
Yeah. But when I was designing, in my past life as a designer, as I like to say, when I was designing books and stuff, I don't think, it was so hard to explain to people what exactly I was doing. Yeah, it's so hard. Yeah,
it's difficult. No one understands. No one understands us.
I think that's also a function of just us being trained to just like, the work must speak for itself.
Yeah.
So we're just so, we're equipped to let the thing talk on its own and just not for us to be able to talk about what we actually did there.
Yeah, and it's hard because like the definition has evolved so much that I feel like I do all of these different things. So I have trouble like parsing it down to a sentence and not bore everyone with like, oh, the other day I did this thing and then today I did this thing and today I did this thing, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that's difficult too.
Yeah.
But
to slightly like bring this back into
a conversation.
I'm teaching drawing this semester, and like people come to a drawing class or like to design school also with like assumptions about what drawing must look like or what these things must look like or what these things must be. So a lot of like getting involved, like meeting other people and like trying to look at other things is also part of that whole process of just trying to open your like broaden your horizons or just widen the scope of what you include into that sort of space of like, this counts as this.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like the whole thing about bad drawing club is like, yeah, we're making bad drawings, but it's also about enjoying the process and not sort of feeling like you're meant to make drawings in like one way. Cause a lot of times you like fuck up and make a bunch of like shitty drawings. And then you discover that there's something in there that you actually like.
Exactly. You gotta get the bad ideas out before you get the good one.
Or maybe it's not even like the actual drawing that you like. Maybe you're like, oh, I kind of like the colors that I used there. Maybe I'll use that again the next time. Because a lot of times for me, it's like, when I was back home in India, I was clearing out like all the stuff that I've hoarded. My parents are like, why is this here? I had like all of my stuff from design school there and I was clearing it out. I saw all the drawings that I made as a freshman. So bad. Oh my God.
Yeah, I can't look anymore.
I was looking at it thinking, wow, what possessed me to keep at it? I don't know. Because I was making such terrible drawings. You could tell, like you could look at the drawing and you could feel my pain and like trying to make these things. And just like, I think you just have to like get it all out to just be a little more comfortable with it. Because I think we're all just, we're so afraid of failing. or like making a mistake. And it's good to make mistakes sometimes. That's the only way you learn. Like,
yeah, and I think that like looking back at the drawings I did in freshman year and stuff, part of the reason they're so, there are many, many reasons they're so bad. But I think one of the reasons is because you're trying to conform to a specific drawing style. Like we had to draw with this material, and we had to draw it in this way, and we had to render it, right? We had to make it realistic.
Yeah, the word I hate is shading.
Yeah, shading. We had to shade every, like,
I,
it just,
I
it
have
was,
banned that word in my classes.
It's just like, so, so looking at them, it's so clearly not how I draw, and it's so unnatural, and I think that's what's the most cringy about it, is that it's just so unnatural. Because I have bad drawings that are in, I don't have a style, but in a style that's not conforming to academic, whatever, to school, and they're bad, but there's stuff in it that I think is more interesting, and I'm like, I could evolve that. Like our first drawing class was all still lives, which is my least favorite thing to draw, is things that don't have anything to
we're
drawing shoes. I don't want to draw a shoe. Skulls were cool, that was fun to draw, that's more interesting to me, but like shoes and plants and like ladders I don't care as much about. And then the next drawing class up was figure drawing, which I would have loved, but I didn't have to take it.
You never took figure drawing?
No, because that was not the first class.
Man, it is truly an experience.
Well, I have taken a figure drawing class. I didn't do it in college. I did it in a pre-college thing at Wash U, actually. It was their Portfolio Plus program, and you do a figure drawing class. So I did it there my junior year of high school, and that was the only figure drawing class I had, and I loved it, except for I couldn't draw feet. But, like, everything else was great.
I mean,
everything else was great.
Did it look like it had five toes?
No, because I would just kind of, we had the benefit of working a lot with vine charcoal.
Just like
so just kind of smudge a block of general feet.
Well, it looked like, when, as long as your figure had something beyond the ankles.
It did. Yeah,
golden.
Exactly. Well, and then we had, we're so off topic, it's fine. We had.
We're talking about drawing.
we're
in the vicinity.
Sort of. Our last assignment was we had picked for us a classical piece of art, and we had to use the grid system to translate it into vine charcoal. So I had a Botticelli piece that had like probably 10 people in it. They're like in a forest or some nature thing, and they're all naked. I don't know anything else, but they all have feet. They all have feet because they're people. And I was like, my teacher knew I didn't draw feet. I knew I didn't draw feet.
Who picked the piece? You picked it?
They picked it. It was just like a random, I know, I couldn't have had like Caravaggio or something cool. But anyway.
Doesn't Caravaggio draw feet?
He does, but they're very dramatic.
So you don't want to draw basic feet, you want to draw dramatic
feet. Like, I can black out a lot of it because it's in shadow, right?
Anna, show us what dramatic feet looks like. Quickly.
I can't draw feet.
Quickly, in like 10 seconds.
But so here's how I drew feet in my Botticelli thing, because there was 10 pairs of them. I drew grass really high.
Oh my God.
And then I just kind of blotted out generally what the feet and the ankle area was supposed to look like. And my teacher, our final critique, he's like, it looks great. This is really good. Anna, you didn't draw any feet. I was like, well, the grass was high. He's like, it wasn't. You made it that way.
Yeah, it's like how people, like, there's a lot of people who just draw, like, when they draw figures, they'll just have their hands behind.
Yes.
The back.
Hands
because,
I was better at. Feet I never could do.
Hands.
Feet just looked weird to me. They always looked like, the toes were always just a little bit too long.
Yeah, well, I mean,
was weird, like, because feet are usually forward in space, so that was a struggle for me. Like, if it was sideways, I was a little bit better.
Yeah.
But when it was coming forward, I always felt like the perspective just never looked quite right.
Yeah, and
that's
think,
what my struggle was
I think
was
that
with
just
feet.
Has a lot to do with, like, this expectation of, like, how we need to draw. Like, it just comes back to that. Like, if you...
Like, I can't draw a foot if it's on the side.
Yeah, like, if no one told you, like, Anna, you have to draw this foot so it looks like it's on that person as we're seeing them right now.
It just looks like it looks like blobs.
Yeah, like, if you didn't have that pressure, you'd probably enjoy drawing feet more.
Yeah, but I didn't. And then it became kind of a matter of principle. It's like, this is my
just
brand.
Like,
I don't draw feet,
like,
so...
No feet, no pink.
Yeah, exactly. I set limits for myself.
I feel like at some point you can expect like a very pink drawing of feet that I gift you.
That's fine because I didn't have to draw it.
You can appreciate it, you just don't want to draw it.
I can appreciate it. So now that we've gotten into a weird...
I'm actually going to draw you pink feet right now.
Thank you. Please do. So now that we've gotten into that weird segment of our podcast.
There you go. It's beautiful. This is for you.
Oh my God, I love it. Yeah, I think we definitely need to use all of these for the cover because that's going to be great. And, you know, that'll pull people in. Just be like, single... why is this a thing?
Why are there a bunch of drawings on this?
It's going to go in the description too. Question. Yeah. Why is there a pink foot for Anna? Answer. Listen to the whole podcast. It's at the end.
Right at the end.
You have to listen until the very end to learn why Anna has a pink foot.
Just has a pink foot now.
It's a good idea,
people
actually.
People usually have, mortals have pink eye. Anna has a pink foot.
Yes. It's the worst thing.
Immortal.
So.
Well, finally then. Question that I like to throw at people just out of nowhere.
Sounds ominous, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. If you had 30 seconds to talk to the entire world's population. Now, you all can't see Shreya's face.
But our eyes got big.
Yeah.
My eyes are normally big, so imagine how much bigger they are.
If you had 30 seconds to talk to the whole world, and everybody speaks the same language for 30 seconds, what would you say?
Get your s*** together, world.
Yes.
I don't even need 30 seconds.
Yeah, some people don't. We've asked this of most
almost
of our...
Almost all, starting probably with season 2.
Yeah. And some people have been prepared... And had like a whole set
of
shit.
You had some mic drops. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
I feel like the way the world currently is, like with all the stuff that's just going on everywhere, I just feel like people just need to get their shit together.
I like it.
People in power especially.
I agree.
Actually, no. People in power don't need to get their shit together. They already have their shit together. They know what they're doing to mess the world up. People who are not in power need to get their shit together.
Everyone needs to work together to give a general shit at all.
Make the world a better place.
Yes.
Is that an original? Original song, man?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
We're gonna...
Can we use that? Do we need to sign a paper?
I mean, it's...
Do we have to pay royalties on that?
Are you going
to
auto-tune me?
Ooh. Auto-tune. You know what? We're getting better at this editing thing. So.
I'm not f***ing with auto-tune.
I'm going to make Dustin do it. Just give him the file here.
Just like auto-tune.
Do a thing.
Throw in like a pile of Pitbull in there.
You know what, though? Actually, I was looking through some of our old podcasts because I was going to just steal all of the effects on the effects rack. And for some reason, one of them was distortion. I don't know what happened. I mean, anyway. It made us sound real weird. It was basically auto-tuning, but like not making us sound better.
I'm pretty sure we could do that with just like a Facebook, I mean like an Instagram filter. Just like,
yeah,
start talking at it.
It's very true.
Then you can sound like a little baby.
Or you don't even need a filter at all, apparently.
I'm good at voices.
What the hell?
I'm like, we don't even need a filter.
I made the mistake of recreating my favorite scene from Singing in the Rain in class once, prompted by an exchange with this. Have you seen Singing in the Rain?
I have not.
Have you seen Singing in the Rain?
Yes, but it's been a while.
Okay, so the premise of the movie is that it's silent films and they're transitioning to talkies. And it's a mess because like the actors that are popular in silent films just sound terrible.
Yes, I remember hearing about
and
it.
And so there's like everyone's going through diction coaches. And so the scene's like... So there's two characters, the diction coach, and then there's the actress who looks great but sounds terrible. So the diction coach is like... So the scene's basically like the diction coach is like... Round tones, my dear, round tones. Now say your lines. But I can't stand him.
But I can't stand him.
honked.
Oh my god.
Actually, before that, she's like, Ta-tay-tee-toe-too.
Ta-tay-tee-toe-too. Oh my god.
What are those? Voice actor?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Should look into that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I did this in class because like a student was saying, I couldn't figure out if a student was saying can or can't because like in the American accent, you just say can and can't. I'm like, well, are you saying, like, is there an apostrophe T at the end of what you're saying? Like, I don't understand. And then I told them about this scene and they're all stunned into silence. And then someone was like, can you do that again? Like, there's a YouTube video of the actual scene. Go look it up. Oh. You will never hear this again from me.
But now they might.
Oh my god, yeah. Who's to say it's not the YouTube clip that you're playing? No one can
now
see.
Now we won't know. Now we won't know. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Damn, even from that, how do we...
How do we end after that?
How do we get there?
It doesn't matter how we got there.
It's like a bad drawing. Just stop when you stop.
Just stop when you stop. And on that note...
We're gonna stop.
Yeah, Shreyas, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for coming out on this stupidly cold day.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not too bad.
It could definitely be worse.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out and making bad drawings with me.
Yes, thank you for the pink foot.
We still have to see what Javen drew.
Yes, we'll have to take a picture. It's a thing. It's like a whole thing.
It's really a whole thing.
Oh my god, it's like a whole... There's a whole story in there.
Maybe.
It feels like one of those maps that like you start off a book with.
Yeah.
It's like introducing you to the story.
Ooh.
The old Tolkien map.
Yes.
Yeah. And yours is right at the start of the book.
It's perfect.
I like to consider these two as some sort of like directional guardians. East. Uh-huh. I guess this would be west, east. So the Wii Guardians is what we'll call them.
Great.
Yeah. That's it. Otherwise.
I have two for my studio.
I was looking at this one with the blue hair and I was thinking, thing one and thing two? That can't be it.
No, the one on the left, so the one on the left is Sophonisba Anguissola. She was the first, like the only woman Renaissance painter.
Mm.
The one on the right is Lavinia Fontana, who was also like a really famous woman painter.
That name I know.
Yeah, she was really cool because she was the breadwinner in her family. Like she was the one painting and bringing in money and her husband was not. Which was unheard of for that time and many times beyond that time.
That's awesome.
It's controversial, I'm sure.
Yeah, so they're my directional guardians for my studio.
Did you make those?
Yeah.
Holy
shit. That's awesome. We're staring at something very cool right now.
I can bring it down so you can look at it, but it's embroidered, basically.
That's really cool.
Thank you. I have not embroidered since. Probably should.
You did a good job.
That's the thing is, when I feel like when creative people venture into new things, mm-hmm. and a lot of people say, "Oh, you did a good job. You should do this more."
And then you're like, "No, now I don't want to."
Like, and then, like, just like considering what it took to get to this point, it's like, you know.
Yeah, it's like with me and clay. Like, I made one half decent thing in clay, but it's just like clay doesn't like me.
Yeah.
I want to be friends with clay, but it doesn't like me. What do I do?
Clay's messy. Clay is like
clay, it's messy.
Get under your nails messy. That's,
I don't like that.
It just dries up in my hand.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I'm that. What is it? That character, the Bane from the Fantastic Four. I feel like that guy when I have clay in my hands, just like everything's cracking and like crumbling.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Yep. That's very accurate.
It's only for earthbenders.
Which we are not.
I wish I was, but well, you need to be a combination of an earth and a waterbender to bend clay.
Ooh, clay bender.
I feel like there should be hybrid benders, just like steam babies, mud babies.
They're kind of.
How into this are we about to get?
I don't know. Let's wrap up and then we can get into it.
So you're not just left with footage.
The next Bad Drawing Club is...
Come to the March one, because it'll be the one-year birthday event.
There we go. That's
I will attempt to have cake. Not making promises, but I will try.
If anyone wants to bring a cake, let us know.
If everyone wants to bring cake, I'm not going to say no.
That's a lot of cake. Maybe everyone can bring a cupcake.
Yeah.
Just one single cupcake.
BYOC.
Everyone brings their own cup. Yep.
Yeah. Bring your own crayons, bring your own cake.
All right.
Yeah. And
start baking.
Thank you again, Shreyas, for having us. Thank you to all of our listeners.
You could be doing anything else,
but
you could be drawing bad drawings.
You should be drawing bad drawings.
Yeah, 100%.
But you can listen to this while you do it. I keep listing things that you can also do while you listen to things.
Maybe.
Podcasts are built for multitasking.
Yeah, I used to say you could be watching paint dry, and then Jaden pointed out that it would be weird if you were not.
And listen. Now, watching paint dry in silence, that is troubling.
Or meditative.
Well, to each their own, I suppose, but...
I'm just trying not to judge.
I mean, it could be.
You know?
I'm sure that weirder things happen in the world, but... The point is, you all can do a lot of things, and whatever you're doing, we appreciate that you're listening.
Thank you.
And thank you for Critical again for the music.
That's it.
We out.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.